Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, or you've got an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet or whatever, be finding the great Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua. And I want to just say to you, we are going to be in the book of Joshua the rest of the summer. Say, oh my.
Oh my.
And it's going to be a great book. You're going to enjoy it. And so here, let me just give you a little suggestion, okay? We're in chapter 1 today. Guess where we're going next week? Chapter 2. And so like Billy Walker tells you, I want to say the same thing. Why don't you read ahead a little bit? This week, just get into Joshua chapter 2 and look at it. And then you'll come in here ready and expecting to hear the Word of God. Just read over it all week. Read the whole book. But come back. We're going to be in chapter 2 next week. And the book of Joshua is so applicable today. I'm just going to give you the theme of the book up front, okay? The theme of the book is claiming and possessing your spiritual inheritance. The book of Joshua is about appropriating God's promises and God's blessings for your life. Is there anybody in here today and you'd like to know what all God's promised you? Five of you? Okay. Well, I want to tell you, we need to learn how to claim our Canaan. And that's what you're going to learn through the book of Joshua. It's a fantastic book. And we claim those and possess these wonderful promises and blessings that God has already given to us by faith. Y'all know how many promises God gives in the Word? Well, I guess that comes from a different author. I found 3,573 promises this week from God for the children of God. And now, there may be 7,000 promises, but we've got at least 3,500 directly from God today. And you need to know that you can appropriate every single promise from God because God's faithful and He keeps His promises. How many of you are thankful that God keeps His Word? And so we're going to learn as we move through the book of Joshua how to claim our Canaan, how to claim the promises and blessings, how to appropriate all of that by faith. Now, the name Joshua, does anybody know what that name means? Jehovah is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. And the New Testament name for Joshua is, guess what? Yeshua, Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. And there's a New Testament book that's a kind of equivalent to Joshua. Y'all just studied it. You adults did in Sunday school. It's the book of Ephesians. And so we're going to learn as we move through this great book of how to appropriate the blessings and the promises of God, our spiritual inheritance. We don't have to wander around in the wilderness all of our lives in defeat. But I see a lot of believers living in defeat today. And there's some reasons for that. We'll cover those. But I want to tell you, I want you to have everything that God desires for you to have. Don't you? All right. So we're in Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Let me read the first 9 verses for us. Let me invite you to honor God's Word by standing if you can. If you can't, you honor God's Word the best way you know how. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book, now this is Jimmy Terry's verse. How many of y'all remember Brother Jimmy? This was Pastor Terry's verse, and it's a great verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. How often? Day and night. So that you shall be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Somebody say, whoo-wee. Isn't that good stuff? Father, thank you for your word this morning. Hallelujah. It sets us free. And so, God, I ask that you would impart your divine instruction to each one of us here today. And God, that you would then give us the faith and the courage to just simply say yes to Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Again, let me just say to you that Canaan land, represents the victory which is ours in Jesus Christ. Now, I've entitled the message this morning, "This Land is My Land." You remember the song we used to sing when we were growing? "This land is my land, this land is from California, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me." I want to talk to you this morning about "This land is my land. This land is your land." And so, I guess now, let me back up. I meant to say this. Moses is dead. God's great deliverer. God's emancipator. He has died. And how many of you know that God buries his workers, but his work continues on? And Joshua was being prepared all throughout the ministry of Moses for this day. And remember, Joshua was born as a slave in Egypt. And he served Moses as a servant and as a minister to Moses. And so he was a great general for God. And now it comes time for Joshua to step up and fulfill God's destiny for his life, to fulfill that purpose for which God would use him. And so, and by the way, let me say this before we get going real good this morning. You can't be a leader until you have first been a servant. Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but to serve." Leadership begins with servanthood. If you got to learn, if you haven't learned how to serve, you're not ready to lead. And that's what's wrong in a lot of places in our country right now. You got to learn how to be a servant before you can be a great leader. And so that's what God's doing with Joshua. And so every day of your life, especially our graduates, every day of your life, you ought to be preparing for what God is preparing you to do. And that comes through a lot of ways in faith. So the first thing that we want to look at this morning is Joshua's assignment. I've just read those first nine verses there for you. And you know, Moses had died, and any time a great leader in any country steps off the scene, I'm old enough to remember when John F. Kennedy was shot and assassinated. And I remember when he was killed, I was just a young boy, elementary school kid, but I remember how fear swept over our country and how there was tremendous tension and unrest when President Kennedy was shot and killed. But although Moses is now dead, God is alive. And God's alive today, no matter what happens. And so we don't forget the past, but we build on it, and we look to the future, and we claim the victory. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want to just give you the first key and the first clue. Joshua's been given an assignment, and it's a general assignment, and it had to do with the land. Look again there at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have what? Given you, as I said to Moses. And so God had promised this land, Canaan land. Now they're on the eastern banks of the Jordan River, and it's at flood stage right now, and they're looking across the Jordan River. And they're about to go into the land that God had promised hundreds and hundreds of years before to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and it promised Moses. And so God, and by the way, can I just stop right here and make a real bold statement? That land over there in the Middle East, I don't care who's trying to say it's theirs, but I want to tell you, God deeded it to Israel thousands of years ago. Israel is the land of the Jewish people. God gave it to them, and whoever else steps up to try to claim it, it's not theirs, it's Israel's. By the way, God, he's the one who has the right to tell you whose is whose and whose is what, right? All right. And so, and here's what I believe. God has given, even as he gave Israel a land to claim, he's given Second Mile Church a land to claim. Some of y'all are looking at me. What is he talking about? Well, God has given us Montgomery County for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us Montgomery County for the glory. And all we've got to do is claim it and possess it. We've got to claim it for ours. You know, we had this huge yard sale last weekend. I'm so thankful we're done with that. But Diana was fussing at me because she thought I needed to get rid of some of the books in my library. And I've read most of those, but there's some of the books in my library I hadn't read. And I want to say this, until I have read all of those books, they're not all mine. But as soon as I read a book, I can claim it as mine. And that's what God's telling Joshua to do. Enter into the land, step out there in it, and claim it as yours. I've given it to you, and it's time to possess it. It's time to claim it. The victory is not yours until you claim it. Y'all with me? I heard several years ago, where's Larry and Laura Vaden? I heard Larry and Laura went on one of these cruises several years ago. And the reason Larry wanted to go on the cruise is because they were serving all the peanut butter and crackers that you could eat. Y'all know some of these stories are apocryphal, but But anyways, they went on this cruise, and sure enough, their room was full of peanut butter and crackers, and everywhere they went, so Larry was happy until about the end of the trip, the peanut butters and crackers ran out. And he said, "Laura, I'm hungry. We don't have any more peanut butter and crackers." And Laura looked at him, and she said, "Have you not been on every deck on this ship, there is a huge buffet of food. And all you need to do is go to one of those buffets and eat, because all the food and all those buffets are included in the price." And so the light bulb comes on in Larry's mind, and he runs down to the buffet and just begins to eat the food that he's already paid for. It's his. Whole lot better than peanut butter and crackers, wasn't it, Larry? Y'all, I'm just kidding. I don't even know if they've even been on a cruise. But what I'm trying to tell you is simply this. You've got to claim that victory by stepping into it. Whatever it is that God said is yours, you've got to claim it and possess it as yours. And verse 3, I love verse 3. Verse 3 tells us to put our foot of faith upon the promises of God. Oh, that's a good word. I need to say it again. God has told us to put our foot of faith upon the promises that He's given us. I love what Romans 8:37 says. It says that we are more than overcomers. It's the word super conquerors. Do you know who you are in Jesus? You're not some stinking failure. You're not some piece of garbage. You're not some, woe is me. You are a child of the King. You are something special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has blessed you. And He has saved you if you're one of His children. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it involves you giving Him glory. And He's going to give you V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. victory, and you've got to claim that victory. It's yours, but you've got to step into it. And that's what he was telling Joshua and the children of Israel to do. Say it with me. This land is my land. Why all this talk about my land? Because our land is Montgomery County, Tennessee. It's Clarksville, Tennessee. And I have claimed this place. This is why Diana and I came home. We want to see Clarksville come to Christ. We want to see Montgomery County come to Jesus for God's glory. Hallelujah. Where'd you get that? I'm glad you asked. Turn over a couple of pages and look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. Are you there? And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Where is our Jericho? Hello? Where is our Jericho? And specifically, where is our Jericho? Right here. Clarksville, Montgomery County. I want to tell you, that would bring God great glory, wouldn't it? For Clarksville to come to Jesus. And it's not His will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. And so this general assignment had, first of all, to do with the land. But then there was a personal assignment that had to do with the law, verses 7 through 9. Now, I just want to unpack verse 8 for you. This book of the law. Now, they didn't have an Old Testament and a New Testament in those days. What is he talking about when you hear this book of the law? Well, he's talking about the first five books of the Bible. That's called the Torah or the Pentateuch. That's the law that was given. And so God wanted to make sure that the Word of God had a top priority in Joshua's life. And he wanted to be sure that the Word of God had a top priority in the lives of the Israelites. And I just want to say, if the Word of God is not a priority in your life, you're going to live a defeated life. Does that make me happy to say that? No. But one of the reasons, if you're really frustrated this morning and you're living a defeated life, and it just seems like you're stepping into one wall and another wall and you're bumping your head and things just don't seem to be going your way, how much time are you spending in God's Word? Because the Word of God has answers for us. Now, it's not always going to be mountaintop experiences. There'll be tough times, and God allows those to happen to us so that we can enjoy getting to learn more about who God is in our life. But I want to tell you, you've got to make the Word of God a priority in your life. How many times do you hear my brother, for those of you that stay for Bible study, how many times do you hear Billy say, "Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Scriptures. Get in the Word of God." That's where the victory is, folks. God will help you to see what it is that you need to see, how to claim your Canaan if you stay in the Word of God. Now, if you're taking notes, let me just give you three quick truths out of verse 8. Are y'all with me? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Number one, you need to declare the word. Say that with me. Declare the word. You need to speak the word. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And in my devotional this morning, my Bible was talking about as a man speaks, he becomes what he speaks. And so we are to declare the word of God. We are to speak the Word of God. I heard about it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say a scripture spouter? You ever been around anybody that just constantly got a verse of scripture for everything that happens? Well, there was an old boy like this in church, and every time something happened in the worship services or around church, he had a scripture that he wanted to spout. And when the choir sang, you know, every morning, he would jump up and shout, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And by the way, that comes out of the book of Psalms, y'all. And then as the pastor would preach, sometimes this cat, this scripture spider, would get up in the middle of the sermon and shout, "Preach the word in season and out of season." And then one Sunday, the pastor asked this scripture spider if he wanted to give a testimony. And so he said, "Sure." And so the old boy got up and began to give a testimony. All of a sudden, he had his mouth wide open. All of a sudden, a bug flew into his mouth. And he, And then he licked his lips, and everybody's sitting there wondering, what's he going to say now? And he said, he was a stranger, and I took him in. Oh, have mercy. What God's telling Joshua is, declare the word. Declare the word. And then he says, digest the word. But you shall meditate in it day and night. You know what meditation is? Meditating on the Word of God. It's chewing on it and thinking about it and letting it just get in digesting the Word of God. How many of you, this happened to me yesterday. I heard a song and I just got stuck on this song and I began to hum that tune all day long. I went to bed saying, that's what meditation, anybody, am I the only one in the room that this happens to? That's what it means to meditate on the Word of God. We need to digest the Word. I ran across this quote this week. It says that meditation is to the soul what digestion is to the body. Food is digested into the body and becomes a part of you. And when we meditate on the Scriptures, it becomes a part of you. So we need to declare the Word. We need to digest the Word. And then finally, we need to simply become doers of the Word. Y'all with me? Doers of the Word. Not just hearers only, but doers. Look at the latter part of the verse. He says, meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. If you will read the Word of God and apply the Word of God in your life, you will enjoy real prosperity and success in God's eyes. S-U-C-C-E-S-S comes from doing what God tells us to do. How to live our life. So, let me ask you. Are you in the wilderness? Are you over it? And by the way, we sing all these songs about Canaan land being heaven. Canaan is not heaven. Theologically, I don't know where we get some of these old songs about heaven and calling it Canaan. They fought wars in Canaan land. There's not going to be any war in heaven. Right? And so Canaan land is a picture of the abundant life. It's a picture of the supernatural, overflowing life. And if you want that kind of life, man, get into the Word of God and do what God's telling you to do. Look at your neighbor and say, he's right. That was Joshua's assignment. Tell them to step into the land and claim it for their own. And then Joshua's commandment. Now there was a national commandment. Look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people saying, pass through the camp and command the people saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. There's a national command there for the whole nation. Now, do you see that word there in verse 11? My New King James calls it provision. I think your King James calls it victuals. Is that right? Victuals. That what we're talking about here is food. Food. They would need food as they entered into Canaan, as they entered into the promised land. Now, for 40 years, what had they been eating? Bless God, it was time to put the Twinkies to the side and prepare some meatloaf and potatoes. And so they were to prepare. They were to prepare food for themselves. And then they were to wait 3 days. Now, how many of you know the number 3 in the Bible is very significant? They were to wait 3 days and then go into the land and claim it. Now, when they stepped across the Jordan River, which we looked at a little bit last Sunday, and they stepped into the promised land, on the third day, guess where they're standing? On resurrection ground. Resurrection ground. Oh, y'all, that's so good. Resurrection ground. Listen, Jesus, let me just remind us, Jesus died for us so that we could be forgiven of our sin, right? And then He was buried for us so that our sins could be put away. And then He rose from the dead for us so that we could enjoy abundant, supernatural, everlasting life. And so when you enter into Canaan, you're standing on resurrection ground. In other words, He does in us what He did for us at Calvary. You're not fighting for victory. That took place 2,000 years ago. You're fighting from victory today. We live on the basis of this resurrected life that's already within us. I love what Ephesians 3:20 said, that an equivalent book over in the New Testament, equivalent to the Old Testament book of Joshua, Ephesians 3:20 says, "And we know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think." Above all that we ask or think? Yeah. According to what? To the power that lives within us. You see, you can claim and possess Canaan for yourself because God died, was buried, and rose again for you to have it. I'm not doing any prosperity preaching this morning. I'm just telling you, you can appropriate the promises of God for your life. You can claim your spiritual inheritance. And there's so many in the body of Christ today that are living below what God died and rose again for them to have. Man, I just want you to have what God wants you to have and promised you that you can have. You don't have to live a defeated Christian life. You can get rid of that Eeyore spirit. Some of us, you think, broke, busted, and disgusted, and da-da-da-da-da. That's not the life God wants you to have. Am I telling you the truth? That was the national command. Prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you'll cross over. And then there's an individual command. And look at verse 12. "And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land." Let me just kind of get you up to speed. We don't have time to go through all of that. But I do want to tell you this. There were 2.5 tribes in Israel that wanted to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The Reubenites, the tribe of Reuben, the Gadites, the tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, who was the son of Joseph. They wanted to stay on the eastern side. And you know what I found out the reason for that was? Now, God's plan was that all of Israel might go into Canaan land, right? And anyways, God wound up compromising with these 2.5 tribes because they told it that they were willing to go and fight with Israel so that they could claim Canaan. But you know what? You want to know the reason they wanted to stay over on the other side of the Jordan River? Because it was a good place for cattle. Now, I don't want the Barnetts getting mad at me today. But it was good for grazing cattle over there on the eastern side. And they got interested in material things rather than spiritual things. They were more interested in making a living than making a life. These were what I would call today borderline Christians. Folks who are content to live on the wrong side of the Jordan River. They get involved to a certain extent, but they don't have the joy and the victory of the Christian life because they have not claimed Canaan for themselves and their family. And by the way, when God sent Assyria to judge the nation of Israel years later, guess who the first tribes were to fall? The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And so that was the individual command for those 2.5 tribes. But here's what I wanted to get to. Joshua's encouragement. Look at verse 16. "So they answered Joshua." Hadn't you always wanted to know who they was? Well, they is the children of Israel here in this case, okay? "So they answered Joshua, saying, All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." The children of Israel promised Joshua their obedience. They said, "Joshua, we'll do it. You can count on us. We're going to follow you. We're going to do what God's telling us to do." You know, a church is either a field to work in or a force to work with. And I prefer the latter. I'm glad that Second Mile is not just a field to work in, but you guys are a force to work with. There's a huge difference there. And I want to tell you, I just want to share my heart with you. Many of you guys are a great encouragement to your pastor. You love God. You love the Word. You love serving God. You love giving. And for the most part, I'd charge hell with a water pistol with most of you. You're an encouragement. You're a blessing. You see, I think is the best governmental construction of the church. I think every church ought to be pastor-led. There's a lot of churches in Montgomery County that don't want a shepherd. They're sheep, but they don't want a shepherd. They just want a preacher. And churches like that probably don't deserve a pastor. But a church ought to be pastor-led, deacon-served, committee or team operated, and congregationally affirmed. That's the leadership style that works best in God's church, in my opinion, today. And I want to tell you, you all are a great blessing to your pastor. Now, we're following Jesus, right? Don't put me up on some pedestal and worship me and blah, 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 because I'm human just like you are. Now, I ought to be a step ahead of the rest of the crowd, and you need to respect the position that your pastor has, whoever he is. But I want to tell you, let's join hands and put our hands on the plow and stay in the field together, and let's see Clarksville come to Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful this time next year? Glory to God. And so we're in the business of rescuing people for the glory of God. We're snatching people from the fire here in Montgomery County. That's what we're all about. And I want to tell you, I'm not willing to give Satan half an acre of Montgomery County. He doesn't deserve it. Some of you wouldn't clap if you were at the Super Bowl. God bless you. Why do we act one way at church? Well, that's another sermon. They promised their obedience to Joshua. And then, secondly, they promised their prayers. And this encouraged Joshua. Look at verse 17. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God will be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Wow. These folks would not only support Joshua, they would pray and encourage Joshua. They'd pray for him. Some of the sweetest words that a pastor here can hear is, "Pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm going to make y'all a promise today. I will never, ever ask you all to do something that I don't firmly believe with all of my heart that God wants us to do together. I'll never ask you to do anything that I don't believe God's wanting us to do. And you just keep praying for me. Because I want to tell you, I'll do something. If I get in the flesh, I'll do something stupid in a heartbeat. And so will you. Pray for one another. And follow the leadership of your pastor, whoever it is. God's still speaking to men today. I believe that. And how many of you have read Corey Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place? Well, man, she was a great woman of God. And I've gotten a lot of sermon material from her books and stuff. But she said these words: "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" Now, I don't know what that looks like in your individual life, if you're in your prayer closet on a regular basis. And I love y'all enough to tell you the truth. If you come to our Wednesday night prayer services, it's the spare wheel. Brothers and sisters, the only way we're going to take this county for Christ is to come together and pray. And really seek God's face together. You see, the work is in prayer. That's where it takes place at. And if we'll come together and pray, God will do an amazing thing. Well, I know how you are, Brother Cal. If I come to prayer meeting, you'll call on me to pray. No, I won't. We're learning how to pray together. Are we not? Greg Lee, have I ever called on you to pray? Not yet. But God, Clarksville, we have got to come together to pray. It's the key. I mean, we shouldn't have to order 95 pounds of barbecue to get you to come pray. We ought to want to pray. God's family has always met together for prayer. And that's what these people were saying to Joshua. We're going to get together. We're going to pray for you, brother. That God would move in your life just like He did in the life of Moses. Yeah, I want y'all to pray for me as your pastor. Do that. But the great desire of my heart is to see Clarksville come to Christ. And the way that's going to happen is with the churches coming together and praying and asking God to be with them and show them how to do it. Are you with me? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? What a great quote that is. I got under conviction about it. And then let me close with this. For the fourth time here in verse 18, only be strong and of good courage. Four times, Joshua hears those words, be strong and of good courage. God has told us He'll be with us. God is with you, friend. He's not going to run off and leave you. Not if you're one of His kids. Not if you're one of His children. God's with you, and He'll always be with you. And the reason you can be strong and be courageous is because the strongest power and personality in the universe is taking up residence in your life. You've got the Spirit of God living in you. Be strong and of good courage. You can be bold in your witness. You can be bold in your faith. You can do whatever God's calling you to do. And I don't know maybe what your specific Canaan is, but you can claim it. Clarksville and Montgomery County is our Canaan. Together. How many of y'all have grandchildren? Wow. How many of y'all have great-grandchildren? Wow. Wouldn't you like Clarksville to be a place that your grandchildren and your children and your great-grandchildren could grow up in a place where Jesus is King and Lord of the city and the county? Wouldn't that be great? Amen. Let's pray. God, we just want to be able to sing today, "This land is my land." Because this land is your land. And I don't know what all you need to do here today. But Lord, you have spoken loudly to us through your word. This isn't about me. This is about you and your people. And many of us right now are living below what you promised us to have. Oh God, would you move in this time? Would you get us to the point of conviction and courage? Would you give us the obedience that we need to just say yes? There are some here and they're not in the Word. There are others here and we're not into prayer. And many of us have lost family members and we've never even mentioned the gospel to them. Oh God, do what you need to do here at Second Mile Church. Make a second mile, people. In your name we pray.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.